Hi, in this episode of IB Matters, we talk to Lisa Marin Thompson from Sejong Academy in St. Paul, Minnesota. Sejong Academy is an MYP candidate school nearing the end of their candidacy phase to become an official IB World School. Like other podcasts we've done in the series, Becoming an IB School, the key to a successful IB school candidacy are the people in the school community. They need to be knowledgeable, passionate, and above all, caring. Lisa and the staff at Sejong have all these attributes. Stay tuned to hear how they are working towards transforming their school and building towards their upcoming site visits from their consultant and the verification team. Welcome to IB Matters, a podcast for those who currently teach, lead, attend, or are interested in International Baccalaureate IB schools. Hi, folks. Welcome back to IB Matters. And special treat for us all today. We are doing a podcast in person for the first time in about a year. So as you've been listening in the last year, all of these podcasts have been on Zoom. But today I get to be in person because we are interviewing Lisa Marin Thompson, who is at Sejong Academy in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I've got a great story to tell. Sejong has just moved into a new building. We're going to hear about that. But they are also a candidate school for the middle years program. And in keeping with the things that we've been doing in the past with helping people understand how to become an IB school and what the journey is like, Lisa's here to kind of talk about it. And she's got a great background. This school is very lucky to have her come on. And we look forward to hearing from her. So hi, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me.
That's great. I just had a tour of the school. Actually, I got a little extra bonus because when I arrived, they were having a fire drill. And I got to see the whole staff and group of students. And then after the drill was over, I got a chance to check out the beautiful new spaces and meet some of the teachers. They've got some outstanding young teachers here to kind of guide them along the way as they become an IB school. But let's hear more about the school. First, let's hear about you, Lisa, because your background is really interesting.
Well, thank you. Well, my new role here is pre-K through grade 12 assistant principal and also upper school director of teaching and learning. And that includes being the IB MYP coordinator.
Many hats.
Yes. And we are a Korean immersion school, and we use a responsive classroom throughout the grades. And we're also, as you said, a candidate MYP school. And we are also considering the CP in the future.
Right. Perhaps. I was just talking to your principal or about your head of school about that.
Yeah.
When we were standing outside at the fire drill, I was promoting the CP to him. So we're working on the same page. That's good.
Yeah. I think, everything we hear about it sounds really exciting to us, but we want to focus on the MYP right now.
Yep, for sure.
We've added a grade each year. We're in our eighth year as a charter school.
Okay. Yeah, I've been to your old location a couple times, and I know there were far fewer students at that location as you were starting, but now you've kind of got an upper school, which you didn't have that long ago, and so I'm very delighted to see the growth that's been going on in the program. Obviously, there's an interest.
Yeah, I think so. And the students keep coming, and also I think that our program is strong and for many reasons, but one thing to just note is that our director and our principal Cho and Dr. Tipka have been here since the beginning, the very beginning. And we also have a founding board chair, Mrs. Grace Lee. So it's really a privilege for me to join them at this time. And I feel like all of us are very thankful for their leadership.
Yeah. And I know Brad was telling me he's really excited about having you on board because you're moving the needle very, very nicely for the group. So that's great to have. So tell us a little bit about your background, because it's that background that kind of makes you well suited to this job.
So thanks. Yeah, I am from the United States and I attended St. Olaf College, which is here in Minnesota. After college, I decided to be a Peace Corps volunteer. And during that time, I lived in Mauritania for 2 years and also in Gabon for 1 year, I set an intention to one day teach in an international school or to teach with an international focus. So I went back to Minnesota with my husband. We served as Peace Corps volunteers together, and actually he's also an education leader.
He's also a past guest on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
So folks, go back and look up Andy Richardson. He was on the podcast close to 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So he's teaching in Northfield right now, and he's also an MYP design teacher. So we attended graduate school at the University of St. Thomas, and then worked in Minnesota, and I worked in both public, private schools at the local level and also for the state, and had a wonderful experience here. But we were super excited when we got invited to be MYP teachers for an international school in South Korea, Taejong Christian International School, TCIS. And we went there in 2008. And that's where my IB adventure began.
Yeah.
And I was firstly a visual art teacher for 3 years. And then later we had the chance to move to Ghana. And I served again as a visual art teacher in Lincoln Community School in Accra, Ghana, for 3 years. And then I stepped into the role of full-time MYP coordinator.
Okay. So you've done this before.
Yep. I've done this before. Yeah. And I've been mentored by some really wonderful people. In fact, in Ghana, my really favorite professional memory is that I was able to work alongside my DP coordinator, Luke McBride, and our PYP coordinator, Kay's Junior Anagnost. And together we were accepted as presenters at the 2018 50th anniversary of the IB conference in Vienna.
In Vienna. Okay. So you get to go to the cool ones that are in Europe.
Yeah. Well, it's Africa and the Middle East, Europe are in the same region. That was a really big honor. And we were able to show a film that we produced in Ghana. And I'll give you that link. It's on international mindedness.
Okay. Beautiful. Yeah. We'll definitely put that in the podcast notes. So folks, check those out.
Great.
Well, yeah. So now that's exactly what Dr. Tipka was talking about when he said that you're coming along here is at a great time for them as they're in their journey here. So one of the things that, you know, listeners will, you know, as they're considering whether they're going to be an IB school or if they're a new IB school, or even if they're already authorized, it's always important that the mission of the school and the mission of the IB are aligned. Do you want to talk a little bit about Sejong Academy and how its mission, which is a Korean immersion school, how that meshes with the IB mission?
Sure. Yeah. It fits beautifully, basically. Our tagline is inspiring global leaders. And our vision is that our Sejong Academy students will become scholars of Korean and English, as well as socially responsible global citizens.
So in our tour, one of the things that I found out was that you start out as an immersion, 100% immersion with the youngest children. And then the English part of the school works itself into it as they get into second, third grade and so on. So you're not a PYP school, but you have this kind of international mindedness built into your platform, the way you do things, and your framework, I should say. And then you work it in so that by the time they get into middle school, they're doing MYP.
That's right.
Interesting. So do you, what are some of the other things maybe about the alignment that you wanted to talk about?
Our students are studying Korean as a second or third or maybe more language. And then many of our students are also learning English. Mm-hmm. And we do our best to honor and celebrate mother tongues as well. So I think that's a really great that multilingualism is a place where we match up with the IB very well. We are a responsive classroom school, and the core values of responsive classroom overlap in some cases and complement nicely the IB learner profile attributes that we emphasize more in our upper school program here. Part of our mission is that we use research-based curricula and have high standards for accountability. And I mean, just this morning we had the whole upper school doing a wonderful exercise designed by our lead teacher on MYP principles of assessment. And it makes me feel happy that we are using the research-based IB curricula and that we are learning together these ways to hold ourselves and our students to high standards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those. I mean, that's kind of the key to the IB in my mind. It changes but as it evolves, but it's always using research-based and best practices. And so that's one of the things I always tell people when they're considering the IB is that, you know, if you just follow the IB's lead, you're going to be in the midst of what's currently the best practice. It is a, I've used it, and our listeners will have heard me say in the past, it's a funnel for best practice. So as you kind of go through that, it just collects that and kind of filters it through the IB lens. And so you're in a good place with that. And it sounds like a really good alignment, you know, between the school's mission and what IB is doing. And that's those of you listening that are in the authorization process, you know, that's one of the questions, you know, how does your school's mission fit with the IB mission? Tell us a little bit about your students. You know, you mentioned that they have sometimes multiple languages. Tell us about your students, maybe even a little bit about their backgrounds. Where do they come from? How do they land here? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, sure. We have wonderful students here. They are caring and principled, and they are, like I said, learning Korean as a second or third language. We have many students whose parents are new immigrants, and some of our students' parents have personal or family connections to Korea. We are just really excited for all the families that have chosen our program for their children, because as a charter school, we know that every family who's here has chosen mm-hmm. us based on our vision and our mission and our Korean immersion program and our IB MIP candidacy status.
Right. Just a couple of one statistic that I remember from talking to Dr. Tipka during the fire drill is that you're about 325 students.
That's right.
And that's pre-K to 8th or 11th grade.
11th. 3K, yeah. 3K. Mm-hmm.
But the majority of the students are in those earlier years right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're growing up in the program, will stay with you, and your upper school will get bigger and bigger going forward.
Right.
Yeah. And this new space that you have is going to easily accommodate that. I can see that. So it looks beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah, we really love the new space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And this building wasn't a school before, but you wouldn't know it walking around. It's got giant windows and terrazzo floors and things that you would expect to see in a school of this age. So tell us about the authorization process. Where are you at? You're obviously a candidate school right now. Mm-hmm. And so what are your... Like, what's the timeline in front of you? When are you going to have turning in things, and what do you have next to do?
Sure, yeah. So we became a candidate school in 2019, applied in 2018, and we've been implementing steadily. I joined the team this year, and it's, you know, a privilege to take over from my predecessor, and we also have an IB consultant that we work with. Mm-hmm. So where we are, well, we are excited to celebrate all the things that we've just put in place. We have a new design course that we're rolling out just right now, and we have a trained personal project coordinator.
Okay, great.
We sent three professionals to Austin, Texas, the IB conferences there this summer.
Okay.
And we're also have a new schedule that it allows us to offer 50 hours a year for all 8 subject areas.
Okay, that's good. That's one of the biggest things. I know I was an MYP coordinator through the authorization, and trying to find 50 hours is not hard for some things like languages, but it's difficult when you're looking like the design course mm-hmm. or some of the others, even PE and health sometimes is restricted.
That's right. Yeah. So we feel really excited about that. And we also have new teacher leaders, for example, in the area of service action, mm-hmm. and which is something that it's not that we haven't done it before, but we are going to start documenting
right.
it in different ways and make sure that we kind of have a common language about the outcomes mm-hmm. together. And also we have an approaches to learning coordinator this year, and you know, she is going to help encourage the younger grades as they get ready to meet our personal project coordinator at grade 10.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those are all things that I'm impressed by the fact that you have people trained in all these areas. You know, sometimes in a big public school, we don't have even some of the things that you're putting together here. It sounds like you're on the right path, especially that, I think that service action and the ATL approaches to learning coordinator. Because oftentimes teachers or just the coordinator, who would be you, who already is doing other things as well, you have a lot of hats, as I mentioned earlier, it's difficult to do all those things well. And I noticed you have your approaches to learning reminders out in the classroom, and so it's front and center as you do your work. So that's Congratulations.
Thanks. I'd also like to mention that we have, when I came to the school, there was already an active racial equity working group. And so that group is led by a wonderful teacher leader as well. And, in that group, we can have conversations and dig deeper and make higher goals for ourselves in the areas of international mindedness and self-understanding as well as intercultural understanding.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a projected date that you'd like to have your authorization visit sometime in the future? Do you have that on the calendar?
Yes, we do have a visit scheduled for October, the third week in October, I believe, with our IB consultant.
Consultant, right?
Yep. And so she'll come first, and then we hope and expect that the verification visit will be planned for soon after, hopefully even before winter break.
Oh, that quickly. Okay. So you've had the consultants been here before and they kind of have helped you, or have you been working with them online and on the phone and so on?
Yeah, we've been working. She hasn't been here before. It's Miss Emily Munn of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And she has been really helpful and present, but mm-hmm. we've only met and worked together online.
Right. Well, just for the listeners who may not be familiar, but when you become a candidate school, you are assigned a consultant. Mm-hmm. The role of the consultant just basically gets, checks in on you, makes sure that you kind of have people on the same page in terms of their understanding the guides and so on. One of the complications, or one of the things that makes parts of MYP or any IB program a bit complicated, is that there's a lot down on paper in the guides and so on, but then bringing those guides to life takes, a voice, and if it's your voice because you're experienced, or the consultant comes in and they can really help teachers kind of understand what's on paper, because it's not written in a way that you could necessarily just, follow the instructions. It's a more philosophical, it's a framework, and each school does it differently, as your school does things differently here too. Hey, would you just take a minute, because we were just off air for a moment, and you were telling me about your physical education and health class. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing? It's kind of unique, and it definitely connects with your Korean theme.
Yeah, well, we are offering 50 hours a year of physical health and education for 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. And the way we're doing it is we're offering 2 days of PE, so physical education, 2 days of health, which is offered inside a classroom, mm-hmm. and then 1 day of Taekwondo instruction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have a space for that downstairs in the remodeled building. So, that sounds like
we
fun.
We have a wonderful space, and it's got a special kind of flooring, and then additionally there's mats.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And is that a popular place? The students like it?
I think so. I was observing a class just today, and it was really thrilling. It was a 7th grade Taekwondo class, and it was awesome. They shout and kick, and
it's one reason it's in the basement.
Cool. And it's actually right next to our music rooms, and so we didn't get to hear it today, but we have a beautiful set of Korean drums. Oh. And so Korean drum is one of the focuses of our MYP music program.
That's great. Yeah, and that's just the thing, as listeners will understand, because you may not know this, Lisa, but about 60% of our listeners are not in North America or South America. We're mostly heard in other parts of the world. So when you have this background of IB or whatever your local flavor is, or your local priorities are, the IB fits into that. It mm-hmm. fits into IB. So, so what are some of the things you have left to do? You've got the consultant visit coming. So, and I know as a past coordinator, those consultant visits are a busy time leading up to it. You've mm-hmm. got a lot to do, and the consultant will give you even more to do when they leave, and then you'll be getting ready for that verification visit. Tell us about some of the things that you feel are left on the plate at this point.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so we last year we did our first ever mini personal project mm-hmm. activity, you know, over the course of about 3 months.
Okay.
And this year with our trained personal project coordinator, we've started already with the ninth graders last spring, and we're going to, you know, do the personal project full out with supervisors. Mm-hmm. And very excited about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one thing that's left to do, which is just to document our... Today I met with the personal project coordinator and we talked about the timeline, for example. Mm-hmm. And we're also working on assessment, and specifically we're going to be educating our students and our parents about MYP assessment practices and how to follow your child's educational journey through the lens of the objectives for each course. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of spread the word that it's exciting that we're going to be able to offer parents and students so much information about mm-hmm. themselves as learners, so that they can celebrate their success, you know, in some of the criteria, and then also know which criteria that they need extra help in.
Right.
Yeah. And then we as teachers too can learn more about trends that we're seeing. For example, if there's one criterion where we are seeing an overall lower achievement level, we might think to ourselves,
sure,
well, maybe I could think of new ways to teach that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So some of the things are helping you, you know, most of the things are there to help you understand the child's progress, but you can use them as a self-assessment as mm-hmm. an educator to see what you could be doing differently.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's a big part of your role as a coordinator? I know when I was an MYP coordinator, it was one of the toughest parts was helping teachers who, in my case, kind of grew up in a traditional system of grades mm-hmm. with percentages, and
yeah,
A's and B's and C's and things, to transform into someone who looked at a student's progress and a growth mindset with the idea that here's where they're at now, here's where they're going to go next, and we're not holding them back because they weren't there at the beginning. You know,
yeah,
we're looking for where they end up. Is mm-hmm. that something that in your role has been a part of it, or do you feel like this group of teachers has that experience already?
Well, I do feel like it's a big part of my role, and it's a conversation I would say that we are continuing, and we're at various levels of understanding, but we have a great team here and they are super eager to learn. And I also, you got to meet earlier, Ms. Mm-hmm. Koh, for example,
right,
our lead teacher.
Right.
And so I have a lot of teacher leaders who are stepping up to handle different aspects of the MYP. And for example, today she designed a special activity for teachers, and especially to welcome our new faculty. We cut up all the strands and the objectives, and we worked on the floor.
Sure.
And we thought about how different strands could be combined to create tasks.
Right.
And it was really a successful experience. So I would say it's true. We do come from different backgrounds, which makes us, you know, richer. But it's true that many of us have come from backgrounds where we have been given A, B, C, or percentages. In fact, our school is moving from a percentage-based system to a criterion-related system.
And that's a key. I mean, it's difficult to do in many mm-hmm. cases, but any school that can manage to do that, make that transition, it's going to put them in a better place when it comes to implementing the mm-hmm. MYP with fidelity, because it's hard to do it on a percentage basis because the whole framework is based on mm-hmm. the criterion and each of the steps along the way. You know,
yeah.
So, you know, as you were talking before and relating to parents, all this information that goes beyond saying, you know, I sat at probably hundreds of parent conferences, thousands of parent conferences with a grade book open saying your child has 92%. You know, and that doesn't really 92% of what? And so when IB, I've said this on the podcast before, when IB came into my life at 28 years of teaching, I really understood better, you know, what I should have been doing and what I, you know, I felt was inherent in my role as a teacher to be that kind of person in terms of relating to parents and students where they needed to go and where they've been and how I can help them get there. So credit to you for being on that already, you know, because it's such a big part of being successful.
Well, thank you.
So you mentioned a little bit about bringing new teachers up to speed. It's always a challenge. You're new to the building, so maybe you haven't had this experience much here, but maybe you could share some ideas about how people can bring new teachers, because this time of year, in at least in North America, we're starting schools this week, last week, or next week, and there's always new teachers, and they always need to know. Many of them have never heard of IB. So what do you do?
Well, we have been using lots of local resources in my orientation week with teachers. We invited two IB guest speakers, one from Park Central High School.
Park Center, yep.
Yep.
John Eversole, right?
Yes.
Yep. Buddy of mine.
He led an amazing session on international mindedness and also conceptual-based teaching and learning. And then we also had a guest from South Korea. Dr. Jenny Kim is a professor at Handong University, and she and I taught art together at TCIS in South Korea, but now she's leading an IB teacher training program.
Mm.
And that's really exciting for us because she could present to us in both Korean and English. And also, she could give us the update from Korea because the government of Korea has chosen the IB for some of their regions.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you've got different groups of people or different people with different backgrounds coming in to give you support in different mm-hmm. ways that you need. Yeah.
But then we also, every teacher who went to a workshop this summer presented their learning to new faculty. I shared many handouts and also documents that are poster-like that they can put on their walls quickly so that they can have, for example, the approaches to learning, the IB learner profile attributes, the objectives for their course.
Mm-hmm.
I showed you earlier that I printed out from the Minnesota Association of IB World Schools website the approaches to teaching PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I just thought that would be nice to teachers' desks so they can remember the approaches to teaching.
Yeah, and I'll link that in the podcast notes too.
Thanks.
So your school community, while it's significant, you know, over 300 students, but that's pre-K through 11th grade. Sometimes in a smaller school community, implementation of an IB program can be a challenge. Sometimes it's a benefit. What have you seen are the benefits of implementing MYP in a, we'll call it a smallish school?
In our smaller school, we all know each other. So faculty knows each other, the students know each other, and sometimes, you know, we teach siblings of our students, and with just one to two teachers per subject area, we just naturally know people outside of our own discipline, mm-hmm. you know, instead of only sitting with the arts teachers,
right.
for example.
Right.
We can also move around the space really easily and see each other's classrooms, which means that we can see each other's student work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really nice thing that we have in our small school setting because, you know, we don't have some big long wing. And so therefore we never get to the other side of the room or the school rather. Yeah, I think those are some, there's more, even more benefits. But I think that, you know, when we gather as a professional learning community, we really know each other. We can really encourage each other and lift each other up and celebrate our students' successes mm-hmm. together.
Well, even in the short time I've been here, you can really sense a real positive vibe, you know, around here with just very kind people that are the
That's
teachers
right.
and they're very dedicated. And they were anxious to show you things that they've been doing as we walked mm-hmm. around and show me. So I appreciate that. And it's, you know, while this is a new, bigger, brighter building than the old one, there's still a definite feeling of community that you haven't lost because you're in some, you know, mm-hmm. Like you said, there's no wings. And so everything's kind of tight and people can see each other. So that's that. Thank you for that. So for schools that are thinking about introducing the MYP or adding the MYP, what advice would you give to a school as they're considering whether the MYP would be a good fit for their community?
Well, one piece of advice I would have is to think about the fact that you might not be the only MYP community in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So to reach out to other MYP schools, if you're considering it, maybe tour the school or even ask the MYP coordinator to come to your school and to share about the program.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got to do that in Accra. My another art teacher colleague of mine, Mansa Nkrumah, she works now at a different international school than Lincoln Community School where I worked, and she called me up and asked me if I could come over to her school and tell about the MYP, and they were considering candidacy. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun for me. And so I think that it would be good for the school, but also it's probably going to be fun for your guest presenter, because it's just fun to share that beginning excitement mm-hmm. of what the IB has to offer and what it feels like to be part of this big network of schools. So I guess I just underscore knowing that there's many other people thinking about the MYP also, and many other people who are already implementing it and would be happy to help you and share.
Right. That's very good advice, especially as I'm the director of the Association of IB Schools in this area. That's one of our big roles is yeah. sharing with schools advice, and we hold meetings and things so that people can get to know each other and also share this expertise. And you're mentioning you can even have trainers come from other schools for your own teachers. So any advice for those new coordinators? Some of the people listening may have just started their year as the first time coordinator like you, but you're new here, but not new to coordinating. Any advice for, coordinators?
Thanks. Well, I think, you know, in my situation, as you mentioned, I'm right now in Minnesota, the United States, and I am so lucky to be part of your association, John. And so you can look to what are the resources in your local area. And for example, the coordinator of IB Africa actually was based in Accra. So we were really lucky to know about that resource. And so I feel super lucky to know you as a resource and to be part of this organization. So in other words, when you're a new coordinator, look around you and see what's actually in your location. But then it's really good to know how you can get resources online. For example, again, with MNIB, there's a really wonderful orientation, a digital orientation to the IB for new teachers that I already forwarded to my new faculty. Also, there's the My IB, of course. It's really good to take your time and just really visit it and visit all the sections. And if you're an MYP coordinator, don't forget to visit the general IB right. part of that resource.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. IBO.org. It's got a lot of resources. You can go out of there. And once you're a candidate school, everyone gets a My IB page?
Yes, it must be, because we all
You'll have them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a great resource. And new teachers often aren't aware of it. So you walk them as a new coordinator, walk your new teachers through and all your teachers through the My IB pages too.
Yeah.
A lot of resources.
Yeah. Professional learning communities, as well as the whole professional library, and so much examples of student work and assessed work. Also, you know, on Twitter, I've benefited greatly from chats on MYP chat, and also follow IB MYP. Mm-hmm. I've actually really surprised myself by benefiting from following certain people. And like, I've never met, for example, Lenny Dutton.
Right.
But I just really love all the things that she posts. And like, it would be so special to meet her one day and thank her in person. But I never realized how much I could learn from online
right.
posts.
Yeah, I think the hashtag MYP chat is one that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And from that hashtag alone, there are so many different connections that keeps coming back up. And for those that have, you know, thought that, you know, Twitter wasn't really valuable, it really is valuable in the IB world, because, you know, so many of these leaders and even people that aren't necessarily directly involved with the IB are involved in conceptual teaching and learning, for example, mm-hmm. like Julie Stern,
yes.
Who's been here to Minnesota for us. And those kind of thinking or those kind of ways of teaching and learning are integral to how IB is done correctly too. So, it doesn't have to be an IB person that you're linking up with. So great advice. Any final thoughts? I want to thank you so much for your time, Lisa. We have been working on this for a little bit we have mutual friends, and so I've kind of heard of you for a while. And when we had the opportunity, it just occurred to me, I was out with our friend John, and we were talking about your role here, and I said, well, I should have her come on the podcast. So here we are. So thank you for your time.
I'm delighted to be here. Yeah, I'm so proud to represent Sejong Academy of Minnesota. I feel really thankful to be working here, and I hope that anybody who has more questions about it will contact us, and mm-hmm. we'd be happy to share it with more about our school with teachers or potential parents.
Be sure to check out the links I have in the podcast notes to get more connections with Sejong and with some of the other things that Lisa and I were talking about today. So thanks again, Lisa.
Thank you, John.
You can learn much more about Sejong Academy and becoming an IB World School using links in our podcast notes, as well as by checking out other podcasts we have produced on the process of becoming an IB school. You can also look on the IB website at ibo.org for more information. Now that we have almost 80 IB Matters episodes covering a range of subjects, you can use our podcast webpage, which is organized by program and by topic, including the Becoming an IB World School series. The link to the website is in our podcast notes. We also have added a dedicated Facebook page for the podcast called IB Matters Podcast. Besides linking to our recent podcasts, it'll have additional features highlighting our guests and further links from our podcasts. We encourage you to like and follow our Facebook page and to make suggestions for future programs or questions you would like us to ask our upcoming guests. Please find all of our episodes wherever you get your podcasts and click subscribe so you don't miss any future programs. Join our over 2,800 followers on Twitter at MattersIB. Also help us spread the word about IB by liking, sharing, and reviewing the IB Matters links in your own feeds and social networks. In just over 2 years, we've been heard in over 150 countries, a testament to the global reach of the IB.